Masculine women and feminine men from the 1930s, even back in the 1930s, LGBT people existed and were portrayed radio, film, and movie making. And then the Hays Code came along in the 1930s and completely eliminated us from any portrayal in the media. Little ancient LGBT history there for you all. We are about to enter into a topic that I find really, really interesting. We've got Rylan Shelton and Sonia Brenna in studio. Welcome, Rylan.
Thank you so much.
Sonia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Rylan, rather than me try to describe what you do and completely muck it up, why don't you tell people what
sure
it is? I would struggle. Why don't you tell people what you do?
Well, I am a vocal coach by trade. That's what I do day in and day out here in LA. And I've designed a vocal development program for the trans community called True Voice that uses musical technique to access and cultivate aspects of a person's vocal instrument with the goal of then applying that development to a speaking voice that more authentically expresses the person with regard to their self-identified gender.
All right, very cool. I know the Trans Chorus of Los Angeles, they were birthed out of the Gay Men's Chorus of LA, where I was on the mm-hmm. board for many years. And I know that the arrangements for the Trans Chorus are not in typical soprano, alto, baritone, tenor, bass, but rather low, middle, and high.
Yeah.
Because gender fluidity happens in the Trans Chorus, and people sing parts then
sure.
that are not necessarily traditionally associated with gender.
Well, and that can also be pretty dysmorphic for people going through a gender transition to be assigned as a soprano
when you sing bass.
That's not how they identify.
When
yeah,
sing bass,
exactly.
Right. So. Brenna, you did this. Why did you decide to go through this?
Well, I'm an FGM transgender woman. MTF, actually. I get so confused about it myself. Transition was fairly easy for me in terms of passing as a woman. That's what I wanted to do. I'm not speaking on behalf of all
yes.
transgender. There's a lot of fluidity.
Right.
For me, I wanted to be perceived as a woman. And so I looked good, and then I'm at the cash register checking out, buying groceries, and they say, "Sir." And that kind of shocked me. I go, "What?"
Right.
So I realized I need to start working on my voice. The second hurdle is when you're making phone calls. That's when it's really painful. Like, you know, so you call your credit card company and you've changed your name and everything, and you're like, "I'm Sonia," and they say, "Sir." So it's very, I mean, for me, that was very difficult.
Yes.
And I was surprised because transition was sort of natural. Like, this is who I am. I finally found out who I am. And it happened naturally. And I had the expectation that, well, obviously, my voice should change naturally too. But it didn't.
Right. The vocal cords don't change during the transition.
No. If
right?
you're born male and you went through puberty and everything, you're going to have a male voice. And even if you take female hormones, that's not going to change.
Right. Right.
It's different for female to male. The moment they start taking testosterone, the voices begin dropping. I mean, it takes a while, but they do have sort of a more deeper voice. So here you are. If I were to speak with my full-on male voice, it would be like a parlor trick.
Right.
And it would be like a mismatch. And
right.
So it was very important as part of my transition to be perceived as female even when I'm speaking. In fact, even right now, I'm still worried about it. Like, what are people going to hear on the radio?
I think they're hearing a feminine voice, a female voice. That's what
right.
I'm hearing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Then I started taking an acting class, a bit of a cliche here in LA, obviously, but for me, that was completely, I had social anxiety and I was in group therapy and they said, "Oh, why don't you take an acting class?" Okay. I started doing that. And again, the first thing was what are they going to perceive me as? They see that I'm female, but I outed myself right away. Still, what kind of roles am I going to be playing now? And I get assigned female roles, thankfully. But I was always holding back because I was afraid, well, if I start playing an angry woman, I can do that because the moment I start raising my voice, I'm going to sound like really my powerful male voice is going to come out.
Mm.
And that was one of the reasons why I started working with Ryland, and he was very, I mean, I have to say, actually amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's not about just the technique. There's a lot of people who have techniques, and, you know, I had already worked on my technique a little bit, But there was always a strain and a discomfort, and I was never, you know, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. Anyway, but Ryland, he had a different approach, and he was also very mindful of the psychology behind it.
Mm-hmm. Ryland, why did you start this? This brings up a very good question.
That's a great
why
question.
Why did you start this?
I saw that in terms of what's happening in the country, it was about July, I guess, when Trump announced the transgender military ban.
Yeah.
It was the summer, almost 2 years ago. And I had been working on an entertainment project at the time. I found that particularly devastating as a member of the queer community, and to marginalize further the most marginalized among us was a particularly low blow. And it also had me feeling a little bit powerless, like, what happens next, you know? And what can I bring to the table in order to mitigate, to stem this sort of fear and separation and those sort of impulses mm-hmm. on the darkest.
And you're a vocal coach?
And I'm a vocal coach.
That's what you do.
Yeah, that's
your
what
gift.
I do.
That's
so
what you do.
I work with music and I work with entertainers to help them adjust their range, to bring out the most authentic expression of their voice in performance. And I saw that this was something that this was where I could help. I could become involved in this conversation that has just absolutely captivated the country over the course of the last couple of years in a way that it hasn't throughout all of the history of gay rights in this country. And so helping people authentically and yet healthfully and conscientiously adjust their instrument or find new ways to use their instrument that more authentically express them is what I can do. And so I decided that there was something. And Sonia was actually my very first private client. And we had known each other. We were acquaintances. Mm-hmm. We had friends in common and seen each other at social functions and things like that. And we found ourselves having a conversation one day. And I made some observations about her voice that I wanted to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll correct me if I misquote mm-hmm. you, right, Sonia?
Sure.
But she said basically that she doesn't want, I said to her, it seems like you're holding back. And it seems like you have brilliant things to say, and I can never hear them. What's holding you back in terms of using your voice? And she articulated that she felt like it betrayed her.
Mm-hmm.
It had sort of come to the point where it was undoing all of this fantastic work that she'd done to authentically express herself
mm-hmm.
physically and visually. But yet, she didn't want to be heard. She didn't want to be heard in the room. And to me, as someone whose voice is so at the core of who I am and who I believe that it's so strong in identifying for people, right? That was a heartbreak. That was a moment where I understood, like, no matter what happens for visibility for trans people, if we can't give them an opportunity to feel like they authentically express themselves vocally and tell their stories and be heard, then we'll only get so far.
Mm, really good points. So musical techniques. Now, you know, I know just enough about singing to be a danger to myself and others. but people who sing can either sing through the mask, as
sure.
some call it, which means the face, the nose, the nasal chamber, or they can sing from a far deeper place down here, way down
yeah.
here. Are those the sort of musical techniques that you employ? Is
yeah.
singing from the mask?
So what you're talking about is the core principle of my work, whether I'm working with cisgender, transgender, entertainers, non-entertainers, is about resonance and finding a way to make contact with resonance in your instrument that you might not make contact with on a daily basis.
Mm.
Our brains do a really good job of making a shortcut for us in terms of speech especially, and says like, okay, you don't have to think about this anymore. This is how you do it. And so that's particularly hard to circumvent, especially with a speaking voice.
More about all this when we come back from commercial break, gang. Thanks for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q. Miss Dolly Parton traveling through from Transparent. Yeah. Oh, this is a fascinating conversation. I'm so glad we're having it. And, you know, Sonia brought up a really good point about finding authentic self. And I know for a lot of gay men who have been gifted with a lisp or an effeminate sounding voice. For years and decades, they do everything they can to hide it, to stifle it, to like to hold back, like Rylan was describing. And part of the struggle of the coming out process is to either double down on what you got or to make adjustments. And either way, it's whatever would be good. Because I know there's a lot of non-conforming gender right now, a lot of gender fluidity happening in the community, all across LGBT. People are finding their own voice and how to express it. So this conversation to me is really interesting for so many levels.
Well, and I would, I'm glad you said that because I wanted to clarify that what I do, I don't believe that there is one way to sound like a woman and one way to sound like a man. And I don't really see that as having a really important place in where the national conversation on being queer and what it means to be queer moves forward.
Right.
I think that what I do, my central goal with my work is to get people to feel comfortable with their own voice.
Right.
Rather, not without regard to fulfilling somebody else's expectations about what that means, especially when in terms of gender. When you feel good about the voice that you use, you come across as you. And people will always have holdouts about their perception and, you know, what they're willing to accept in terms of what they see in front of them. There will just always be those people, right?
Yeah.
But if you feel good about what is coming through you, how you are expressing yourself, then there's no limit to who you can reach, to what you can achieve.
You know, I way back in my early years of my law careers, way back, like back in the 80s, I represented these two lesbian women who were confronted at the Orange County Fairgrounds, and they were called sir. They were called men, even though they were just very, I remember what it was. They were bodybuilders. They were lesbian bodybuilders. And the Costa Mesa police kept referring them as men, sir, and they kept saying, we're women, we're women. And the police finally took them behind a tent to do a genital inspection to determine, because they came out of the women's restroom, they wanted to prosecute them for being in the wrong gender restroom. To me, that was the most horrible thing I'd ever talk about, treating people so indecently, you know. And we ended up suing and winning, obviously.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
A long time ago. And so this whole notion about gender and appearance and presentation has been going on a long time.
Yeah, and what I'd like to say is, I mean, we've already spoken about it being an expression of your authentic self, and it made me sad when you were saying that even in the gay community, people try to change their voices to fit in. The thing is, it sounds trivial if you never had to change your voice or work with it, but it's such an intimate expression of who you are. It's the most intimate thing, because if I don't speak, you're not going to know what I feel. You're not going to hear me. You don't know. It's like I don't matter. And to have to twist that and not being able to be myself, it's a very painful and sad thing. So,
yeah. You know, for me, I would not want to have a deep basso bass voice. I want to soar like Adam Lambert or Freddie Mercury. I want to soar up on the high A flats. That would be heaven for me.
Well, but those voices like that, they're incredibly respected in the music industry.
Very true.
But like to what you were saying earlier about queer men sort of couching their voice, either doubling down or, you know, couching it in something that goes sort of against their natural inclination, the voices like that are not celebrated on a regular basis when you're not in front of a gold record.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, look at, I'm old enough, some of you may not be, Bewitched with Samantha and Darren Stevens, great sitcom in the 1960s. Paul Lynde, playing Uncle Arthur, had that nasally, sissy voice that, I mean, identified him as being something funny to laugh at. That was my first attachment to a gay character. Even though he didn't say he was gay, I was like, Uncle Arthur. I'm like Uncle Arthur. I get that.
Yeah. That's come up so many times in conversations. Paul Lynde and like what his portrayals did for really iconizing a gay expression.
Sassy.
Yeah.
You know, smart, clever.
Sure. And there are so many positive witty things about that. And then also so many sort of ghettoizing things about that, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the way, if you're going to be nationally visible and you identify as gay, you better do it like this, right? And right. I think that's something that we still struggle with.
I think so. Who's that Lion King that played one of the two little characters, the Broadway singer? You know what I'm talking about.
Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
Now, there is a voice that only, that sticks out above all others. I wouldn't want it any other way. Yeah. I just love sure. that little Nelly voice of his.
It's well, so he fantastic. Sounds unequivocally like himself.
Yeah. And, yeah. and he's truly a character. And truly a character. Sonia, do you get any more sirs on the phone from solicitors? Or?
It's been a long time.
Yes.
It might happen if I get really aggressive and angry.
Yeah.
Then I don't know if it's just the reflex that this is sir because
right.
they mean it in a non-gendered way.
Yeah. But looking at you, I would not think for a second, sir.
Yeah. I would not. But on the phone, like.
On the phone. That's like, very cool. true. Yeah. yeah. When I get angry, I tend to, what I do is Nelly out. I just get really up there in my vocal range when I get angry. Yeah. It's not
Yeah.
Cool.
When I get angry, I have to be. Maybe hold back just a little bit, despite Ryland's training.
So, Sonia, what would you say to other trans women who were thinking, maybe there's something worth exploring or looking into? What would you say about the process that you went through?
Well, I've been in trans groups, and I know the whole spectrum, and there's different ways people deal with it. Sometimes, because it's so painful, they just go, I don't need to do anything. My voice is fine. But then they complain that they get misgendered. And
yes.
One can't really tell them straight in the face because it's offensive. But if you really sound very masculine, how's the person on the phone supposed to know?
Right.
But it feels overwhelming if you don't have help. And part of the work is psychological because there's such a resistance to having to change something that is been part of me all my life. Why do I have to change this? Why mm-hmm. can't I just be the way I am and period? Mm-hmm. Just love me the way I am. I don't know, but Ryland was very helpful in kind of understanding that it wasn't just about learning a technique and doing exercises, but there was a psychological resistance. And he was very kind and a real teacher, like you want to teacher to be like in the movies, who's
yeah.
nurturing, and he works with you, and oh. I appreciate that a lot.
Thanks, big man. Tribute to Ryland. Ryland, oh. less than a minute left. How, if people want more information, you have a website or a way to
yeah.
get hold of it?
I do, yeah. The name of the program, again, is True Voice Vocal Development. You can find us on the web at www.truevoicevocaldevelopment.com. We have also just created social media accounts and under the same name, True Voice Vocal Development.
All right. We're going to have you back so you can sing for us now that we know you're a singer.
Well, I would love to be back. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
It's been fantastic. Gang, we have been talking to Ryland Shelton and Sonia Brenna here on Sidebar. We'll be right back after this commercial break for the concluding remarks.